This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Thank you so much for being here again. Welcome back to Hannah Worldwide and Friends, the podcast where traveler, experts, and adventurer share their stories. If you want to learn about what it's like living in another country, you want to experience a new culture, or you just love to travel, this podcast is for you. Or maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone, and this podcast might be the inspiration you need. You can find me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi everyone, please welcome with me Marc Alcobert Taló from Spain. Marc has been an expert himself for quite a while. He has been living in Germany for 4 years, then now currently living in Greece for 3 years, and is about to move to Italy very soon. Marc also made it his mission to explore other expert stories and share it with his podcast, which is called the Expert Expert Podcast, which I will also mark in the show notes for everyone to find. But first of all, thank you so much, Marc, to make some time and to wake up early for me to have this call and to share your own story.
Thank you for inviting me to talk. It's always a pleasure to be on the other side of the story, not always interviewing, but also sharing a little bit. That's nice.
Exactly. It's amazing to have someone who is also a podcaster and sharing their own expertise and experience, but also being an expert, which is just fitting right into my topic as well. So it's kind of a double win where I can learn something not just about being an expert, but also about interviewing experts like I do. So let's dive into your story first. How did you become an expert in the first place?
I had it the easy way, to be honest. Like I got a job offer and I moved already with a job, and I was kind of relocated from my company to work with a client in Germany. So I'm a designer. I do websites, this UX UI design, which is basically related with website and application design, mobile applications. So back in the day, I was working in Barcelona for a company who had clients all around Europe and the world, let's say like this. And one day just said, okay, we have a position in Germany. Who wants to apply for that? Can go. And of course, you get a German salary. And that was a rather attractive thing. So at that point of time, of course, for me, it was a good moment also, let's say like this. I was 22 or 23 years old. So I was quite young. I didn't have anything that bind me to stay in Barcelona, for example, at that point of time. I finished my career, my university. I finished more or less everything. So it was a good moment also, let's say like this.
Yeah. So you didn't hesitate at any moment. It was pretty much an opportunity that opened up and you just took it. Have you thought about going abroad and living abroad before this offer came up?
Yeah, actually, that's one of the things that I probably forced or enforced a little bit more the decision. It was that when I had the opportunity to do an Erasmus, I didn't take it because of multiple reasons. And I kind of regret that decision at that point of time, like of not going to study abroad. So when I got the opportunity to be abroad for working, it was already, the decision was already taken, no? So I always wanted to leave for some time. I also never thought it would be like 8 years of my life already, but it's that's another story. But yeah, of course, like it was always in the back of my mind to be somewhere around and living abroad and exploring a little bit. Yeah, for sure.
Nice. And just for people who don't know what Erasmus is pretty much just from uni that you can have like an overseas year where you go to another university and study there. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah, that's the, I think it's now the European, but they have conventions also with other universities from America, from all around the world, actually. So basically you have the opportunity to spend, depending on the program, but 6-8 months up to 1 year, I think, studying abroad. And then basically it convalidates the credits that you would have for studying in your own university, doing it somewhere else. But yeah. I miss that train, let's say like this.
And after Germany, why did you decide to go to Greece?
So that was more like a love-related story, let's say like this. I mean, my girlfriend, it's a German. So we met in Frankfurt. Yeah. I think it was my second year in Frankfurt already. That time she was the one who got a job offer here because she's an archaeologist. Right. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
So basically I followed her. Luckily enough, at that point of time, I was already working in a remote environment. Luckily enough, that means that COVID happened. Everyone was more or less remote, let's say like this. I never went back to the office. I just switched to complete remote mode. I set up my own nice office at home, and I never went back to an office since after COVID, let's say like this.
Wow. I mean, it makes it so much easier to actually live abroad, right? If you have a remote job, you don't really have to worry about going into an office or to... Yeah, need to be at a certain place and to resign from your job. You can just kind of move it around, which is great. So I assume you just kept the same job from one country to the next country?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Luckily enough, I work for a German company who works fully remote. And that's one of the biggest advantages. Like they allow you to work from whatever you want, always with a little bit of like whatever there is a time zone difference. It makes it more difficult depending on how much you are in the decision making. No, so if you are a little bit more required to take decisions with other people and that influences, and half of the team is in Germany, you are required to be somewhere time zone wise that you can be there when the team is there. But besides that, pretty much flexibility to work from whatever. And it's also very nice because it happens to be a way of meeting people in other places. So, and meeting people from other places. And that's very cool inside of a single company, which is also culturally interesting. Let's say like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard that now more and more companies are actually trying to get people back on site and try to not have the remote work anymore. Do you think that would ever happen with your position?
Well, in the current company, that's very difficult because we don't even have offices. So they don't have anywhere where they could bring us back. I think this is happening mainly with international companies right now, like bigger companies who are taking their people back because they already had the offices or still were renting these offices, and then suddenly they have empty offices and they don't understand why they have that properties at all, or that's not beneficial for the company. In our case, actually, it's a company that has been working remote before COVID. So it's 10 years or nearly 10 years of working remote. Therefore, we already don't have that. We have very integrated culture of remote working. It works very well for us, to be honest. And the culture, it's part of it. So it's already that integrated that if you try to bring the company back inside, I think it will fail because everyone is so used to work remote that they will say no, they will jump to somewhere else.
Yeah, I get that. And the German celery came just with it. Like, are you still on the German celery?
Yes. It's one of the perks, of course. Like when you can maintain salaries from countries like, I don't know, Germany, Denmark, all the Scandinavians, for parts on Netherlands, or even France has higher salaries than the Mediterranean countries like Greece or Spain or Italy. It's a big perk that you are capable of maintaining that salary and then living in the nice side. I don't know if calling it nice. Of course, all these countries also have their own problems. But for me, it's like going back home. Greece was already that. Like, it was like, okay, from Germany, things are a little bit different. I had a very good time in Germany. My girlfriend is German. At the end, it's not that I have anything against that. But it's true that lifestyle, it's very different. It's a whole different story. Yeah. And I don't know. It's Greece felt more like home, the ways of doing things, the Mediterranean style, going out for a coffee and everywhere. It's outside in the squares and drinking and chatting until late night. And it's a different story. It's a different world.
Yeah, yeah. Life happens more outside. Like, as you said, you go out at night, you have like more around food as well, community, and you just spend so much more time talking and connecting to people, I think. Not that we don't do that in Germany, but in general, it's not that much of our culture, I can see. Like, I know. So I understand that it's more home for you in Greece. Yeah.
It's only not, I would say it's not that it's not in the culture to go out, because of course, like when you arrive Christmas, for example, and there is the Christmas markets, everyone is there and everyone has these kind of things, but it's more like, okay, there is occasions for doing that. And then during the week, pretty much if it's a week, work week, then you will stay at home. Yes or yes. Mainly for two reasons, either like the restaurants and bars are not open during that days either, or like they close early. Here in Athens, also the size of the city, it's very different. This is a 7 million people city, enormous, but it happens things every day at every hour. Like, if you want to stay non-sleeping forever in Athens, you have the capacity of doing something all the time, which in Germany Sundays everything is closed. That's it. Like,
that will be such, even for me now, because in New Zealand everything is open on Sunday as well. That will be a different culture shock for me again, because I'm not used to it anymore. So now going back on a Sunday and everything is closed, I will be like, so what are we doing? How did you get inspired to start your own podcast then, and how did you come up with that topic or the idea that you want to interview other experts?
So basically, back in the day, I mean, I call it COVID kit, but it was a COVID kit, actually. Like, I had the tools, I had the microphones, I had some stuff at home. I was doing stand-up comedy back in the day. In Frankfurt, and here in Greece, I played a little bit around, but back in the day in Frankfurt, I was starting to do again stand-up comedy, and I had some gigs here and there, open mics mainly, and suddenly they closed everything. So of course, because of COVID, and I was like, okay, I need to talk. I'm a very talkative person. So how can I make it that I talk and not with the walls, and I don't annoy my girlfriend too much talking all the time? I always wanted to do some kind of production on my own, call it podcast, call it video, call it whatever it might come at that point of time. I think it was easier for me to do it in a podcast format, and it grow up to be video podcast, to be more like a whole bundle of sets of like social media, everything. No, so it has much more than just the podcast right now. But back in the day, it was very much like audio based, and sitting down and I think I didn't think about the format too much, to be honest.
I
just had a very international surrounding in Frankfurt, because it's a very international city. So I started interviewing my friends, to be honest. Like that's how the whole thing started. My best friend still lives in Frankfurt. She's also from Barcelona. So I interviewed her first, then I started interviewing friends, then friends of friends, and then it escalated to moments where people were talking to me in Instagram or whatever, saying, hey, I also live here, or I also live there. And then it's when it popped up to be also interviewing people online, so not anymore in person. And yeah, that's basically how it grew. It was called under another name. So back in the time, it was called The Ausländer as a podcast, but mainly because I was interviewing expats. So The Ausländer, for those who doesn't speak German, basically means the immigrant in German. And it was because I was interviewing expats in Germany, not because I wanted to limit it, but when I started interviewing people everywhere, it didn't make any sense anymore to call it like that. Also because finding The Ausländer in Spotify, it's not easy if you don't speak German. So that's when I switched it, when I came here to Greece, to call it Expat Experts. And then I started interviewing people around the world. I didn't limit it or geolocalize it to a single country, but rather like open interviews.
So the question on how you find people is also a little bit like, it's not just you finding them, it's also them approaching you. Is that correct?
Yeah, there is a little bit of back and forward, let's say like this. There is some profiles that are more strategic for me in the sense of like, I don't know, someone who is an Instagrammer or influencer, and people who are a little bit on the high end of getting new subscribers or getting new listeners, let's say like this. That's more me approaching them. Then there is also a fair amount of people that I know, because I also like to doing some of the interviews in person. That's something that I enjoy, like setting up a little bit the studio and the microphones and then sitting down with someone without the screen in between and the whole thing. So that's majority of the people who I interview live are either friends or friends of a friend or someone who knows someone else and this kind of stuff. No, so or even random people that I also contact that I also geolocalize like a little bit, like that's the only time that I do that. Let's say like, okay, I'm in Athens. Let me check who is doing content online about Athens and living here and try to catch these people. And then there is the whole part of people approaching me. And that's basically in two ways, like either social media. I'm pretty open to people like to say, hey, I listen to your podcast or I listen a couple of episodes. I think I fit. I would like to participate, whatever. And then, of course, we discuss it. The only requirement that I have is that you live for some time abroad. And that's the only thing that I ask from people. So eventually, if you have any story to tell, pretty open to it. And last but not least, I think that's worth mentioning, I'm part of a network now of a podcast network, which is also a platform that it's called Podmatch. It's a US based network, but basically what they do, they have a whole community, they have podcasts on their own, like expertise talks about podcasting and how to do. They even have like a proper course on how to do podcasting, and it helps you to set up a podcast if you're starting from scratch. But one of the most important or most interesting parts is that they have a platform. I like to call it like the Tinder of podcasting, let's say like this. So it's like a database of guests and hosts of podcasts, and then you give match or not to people. And you analyze, you have a full profile of these persons, and then basically it provides you with guests and hosts of podcasts. And that's also a nice way of discovering people or accessing people that maybe you would not have that easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Must say that a lot of people are in United States or they are American, but it's a good platform to also use if you don't have that recurrent amount of people that you need.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple to use. It's like really like a match or not match with the people, and that's all. Like,
yeah. Do you have to pay for that, or is that free?
Yes, there is a quote both for host and guests. Like the host one, it's relatively cheap. I would say I would think it's like around $6 per month, or something like this. But as a host, you receive money when you interview people. That's also one of the advantages.
Interesting.
So
interesting.
If you do one recording per month, you are recovering the investment. That's for sure. Like, I'm not saying that you do your salary with it. You need to interview a lot of people for that, but they pay an amount of money. It differs. I think it's up to $25 for interview, or $30 per interview, up to that. Like, so depending on the length and how many people has interviewed that guest, etc., etc. So
yeah,
it has a return. So yeah, you pay, but at least they pay you back, let's say, like this.
Yeah. Oh, that's very cool. And this is also how other podcast hosts kind of connect with, like, it's like, as you said, Tinder, you mix and match. You can also say, no, thank you, this is not quite for me, or, would you just connect if it's a match from both sides?
Yes, exactly. So eventually the guest needs to say yes, and the host needs to say yes. So there is a whole bunch of people who are interested. Of course, majority of the guests who are willing to be interviewed as a guest, they have something to explain. So you need to consider that these people at the end, I don't know, they just released a book, or they just are producing something. No, they are musicians and they are doing their new album, and then they want to use also a little bit your podcast to promote whatever they need to promote. So
Yeah,
I mean, you need to have that in consideration for sure, because if not, why you register to be a guest on podcast if you don't have anything to share, or you love talking? I also had guests who it was just like, no, I don't have anything to sell or promote. It's just that I love playing my story. Good, nice also, you know, like, good for you. But of course, if they don't match the criteria, then I have a lot of people that I directly say no from this, because they don't meet the criteria of having lived for some time abroad. Yeah. So I just reject that match, and that's it. Like, the profiles already like have a system behind, like all these matching dating apps. At the end, it already takes a little bit checks what you require from the guests, and already like propose you a specific guests with the profile that you need. So it works pretty nice. Yeah.
Do you have to have, as a host, like a certain amount of listeners or followers to be eligible to be a host? No,
that's the beauty of this one. Like, for entering the network, yes, but that's different. Like, you can still register to PodMatch. You can still enter the system. You can still enter the courses online, like the how to podcast, how to monetize, how to do all of that. You can enter the community also. All of that doesn't have any requirement. The podcast network, it's a little bit more, okay. Not, I don't think there is an amount of listeners, but rather more like episodes that you need to release, and that you need to be inside of their platform already to be part of the network. But the network is where you connect. If your interest is more into connecting with other hosts and talking with other podcasters who explain their story and they can help you with things, the network is a little bit better than the podmatch.com website.
The
network is really where the meetings, and I don't know, there is a podcast mixer, for example, where you meet other hosts and then you talk about, I don't know, I'm frustrated today, because at the end it's also about sharing frustration sometimes, like, okay, this is not going how I was expecting to go and all of that. So that's also helpful.
That's really cool that those things exist. Thank you for explaining. No, I did not know about it. Back to your guests. Since you also interview a lot of experts with all sorts of stories, because that's what I do as well. And we have quite a few things in common, because I also started interviewing my friends. And I also then had friends of friends, and then I started doing more online, and then I started having random people or people I find on Instagram. So we have quite a few things in common there. Have you noticed any commonalities of all of those experts that you actually interviewed, of certain things that are always kind of the same, like challenges everyone faces, no matter where you live, pretty much?
Absolutely. I think there is a top five, I would say, that it's always recurrent in there. The clear one, and the one that appears most commonly, it's language barriers. And especially in countries like Germany or Greece, for us, for example, that come from a Latin-based languages. So people who goes from, I don't know, from France to Italy, the base is more or less the same, and you don't take that much. But when you change the whole grammatic, the whole core of a language, then it becomes a conflict, and that's a very recurrent one. I'm also an expert on that, because I jumped from Germany to Greece, so maybe the two most complex languages in whole Europe, or in the European Union at least. So it has been a whole story for myself, but I think a lot of the people who I interview also talks about this. Related to that, it always comes the bureaucracy, because in certain countries, if you don't speak the language, doing the bureaucratic processes to register, to buy a car or a motorbike, or even the easy things that should be easy, like getting into a hospital or getting a doctor and all of that, can become complex, and it's worse when you don't speak the language at all. So bureaucracy is definitely the other big topic that reappears commonly. I would say the third one, and one of the big ones, it's this whole stress of making friends or making deeper connections than just some random people, both meeting international people and local people, I would say. From my own experience, but also from people who I interviewed, I think I learned that there is people who wants to be in a bubble, and these people are relatively not my kind of friends at the end. And people who prefers to really explore, let's say, like this, and connect a little bit deeper. But that doesn't mean that these people wants to only meet locals. They also want to meet expats who are having their same struggles, the same opinions, the same, like, I don't know, to have their circles of international and local people. So having this set up, it's complex, and I don't think that majority of the ways of making friends, it's working that well right now. So this whole meetups, this whole, which is a very recurrent topic also, like meeting in a bar with 100 experts for having a drink with no common ground between you, but alcohol, and that kind of events being a life Tinder, because that's what it is somehow. It's just like sometimes it's just like everyone trying to crash with everyone, and it's just like, okay, I don't know what happens with the people that we already have partners. Like, we don't really need to socialize at that level anymore. So it's difficult to make deep connections. It's relatively easy to meet other expats and meet local people who are interested in expats, let's say like this, but making the deep connection is another story. And I really think that when you enter this, I don't know, meetup circles, you enter there, and if you make a deep connection with one person, you don't go back to the meetup because you already have that connection there for you. These two people are going somewhere else and that's it. So making deep friends in a new country, it's difficult. I would say that's one of the biggest challenges. So a lot of people are feeling alone or not really connecting to the countries, and that's mainly when they come, the idea of, okay, what the hell I'm doing here, why I'm in this country, in the other part of the world, I miss my family, I miss my old friends, and I want to go back, which leads to the whole other problem, which is repatriation at the end. Getting out of your country, it's hard, but coming back after some years outside, it's also hard, because how you left that state. I mean, I'm not even the same person that I left. I was 22. Now I'm 30 years old. So I'm not the same. Why would my environment and my friends be the same in Barcelona? Yeah, yeah. They are not. They are also grown and they are having their lives and they continued without you. And nobody's preparing you for a welcome party when you come back home. Let's say like this. it's hard, but it's the reality. I would say that's the common topics that I've talked or discussed the most.
Makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. It's so interesting to see how those topics you just mentioned came up just recently in my last episodes as well, because it is a thing that comes up, especially considering how important and how hard it can be to go back home. I just really thought that's so much more important to talk sometimes about than living abroad, because a lot of people who are living abroad also will go back home one day, not everyone, but this topic hasn't been discussed really a lot. It's like, of course, there are a lot of challenges of living abroad, no doubt. We all know that, you know that, I know that. But the challenge of going back home is just a whole different topic. And it's at least as hard as living abroad, or even harder. And we don't talk about it enough. So it's good that more and more people pick it up. And my last guest was even making like her career out of it, which is great to be able to help people with repatriation. So thank you for sharing those commonalities. What would you think have you learned from interviewing experts for yourself personally or for your podcast as well?
Oof, podcast groans. I think there is a lot. Like my podcast has grown crazy exponentially. Like, as I said, I started with audio only, then I switched it to video because I start finding that people also has their own gestures, their own way of talking, and that's really, really important to understand their cultural backgrounds and their moving of the hands, the expressions, the thing. It's for me also a way of seeing it, and when you see someone who is not fitting that much in the environment that you are living in, or seeing someone who is very expressive, like with the hands, limiting themselves because they are in Germany, for example, and they don't want to look like crazy. All of that was lost. So I would say that was one of the biggest things from interviewing people. I cannot really say that I have made good friends through interviewing people, or people that I meet a lot afterwards with my guests, let's say like this, or I hang out with people who are in my podcast, because it's not true. But of course, I get the experience of knowing from other people and having the resources also sometimes for certain things. So their story just give a context to something that you see on social media, you know, like I don't know, I interview someone who is a food expert, and then I see their reels, okay, good, whatever, I can follow her or not, taking consideration that restaurant or not. But once I interview that person and I meet her either online or in person, the whole relation changed, and therefore I know her story, and probably I know why she's doing that and how she arrived to do that. and that gives an extra value. Because the challenges, the facings or whatever, I already passed through that. It's more like, okay, remembering on that episode, that person said that, and it says, okay, I don't know. Treat repatriation as an expatriation. Typical sentence for repatriation, for example. So maybe I remember that when I go back home, if I ever go back home. And that's important, no? Also. So it's more like bits and pieces of episodes that I have in the back of my mind, and then it helps me to remember when I face some difficulties or when I need to take some decisions, and I remember, okay, I'm considering doing that. So I interviewed that person and she had the expertise on that. So maybe I contact that person again, or I just use the episode and re-listen to that. And it's a pond of resources, let's say, like this.
Like knowledge you share, but also you can always go back to. True.
Absolutely.
Have you ever made friends with your guests? Like, are you still in contact with some and actually build deeper connections with some of your guests?
I would say that only the ones who were friends before that are still friends right now. Like, I still had a lot of the people who I interviewed who were friends before, and therefore they're still friends, and it just deepened our connection, I think, with the people who I met a bit, but I didn't met a lot. So I don't know, some people who came and it was more like, okay, I talk about the podcast and they were like, oh, I would love to share this story. And we were in a bar or whatever. And then I happened to know them better through the podcast. And now we have a deeper connection that, from a perspective of saying, oh, someone contact me in Instagram, or I contact an influencer and suddenly we are now hanging out. No, it hasn't happened yet. Never close the door to that, but yet.
Never say never. There's only a first time for everything.
Yes, absolutely. Hopefully, we'll see.
You never know. And where do you see your podcast going in the next wee while, maybe a few years?
So right now, I did the rebranding, I did the change, I focalized much more into YouTube. So that's basically my main focus right now. Also, because strategically wise, YouTube has a better monetization than other platforms right now. So it's the only one that really is paying their creators. You need to meet a certain criteria, and I'm on my way to try to meet this criteria, like amount of subscribers, amount of watching hours, etc., etc. So it's going definitely into the direction of video podcasting more than podcasting alone, let's say, like this. I don't think I will ever like close the audio only, because it's easy to produce in that sense. Like, as soon as I have the video, which is the difficult part to do, audio comes pretty much with it. So it will be always there, but the main focus right now, it's video. I'm switching, or I actually already finalized to record the what I call the season one. So I did 25 episodes, which I will be releasing until March 2025. And then from that, the idea would be to change a little bit the format, maybe not the format itself. So the topic will be around the same, but I would have some extra sections, make it a little bit more, I don't know, crisp, more entertaining, trying to bring a little bit of a fun into it. So I'm already recording with the new structure, new script of the episodes. Let's see how it will work.
Nice.
And that will be season two, which would be also another change, which I'm trying to like do seasonality episodes now. So I will release a bundle of, I don't know, 13, 15 episodes. And then, so more or less in 6 months, I will be releasing. And then in 6 months, I will be producing. So I have a little bit of time to manage everything, because I'm have a full-time job. I have other things to do. I have a house, a family. I play football. I do, woodwork. I do a lot of things. And then I need time also for myself sometimes. So yeah, that's basically the changes that are coming right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. But the people you want to interview are staying the same. It's still about people who are living abroad or having an abroad experience.
Yes. It will remain the focus on the expats. I'm considering, although I haven't taken a decision yet, of producing the same format in Catalan, in my mother tongue, because there is no... So it will be a separate show. But I need to decide if I have the time and the capacities and the strength to do to maintain two podcasts in parallel in two different languages. After, but it's I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, especially after what you just said, with all the things you actually have on and you are doing, then well, it will be interesting to see. I actually have a friend who is from Greece, and maybe she would be interested to listen to it. She was my boss for a while and she came to live in New Zealand for probably more than 10 years, and now she is back in Greece. So I'm sure she would be not just super keen on listening to it, but also maybe a good guest to interview. Who knows?
Definitely. As I said, always open to interview people. So if you have anyone who wants to talk in the podcast, that I'm more than open for it. So
thank you so much. I usually end every episode with my quick three questions, which is summing it up a little bit and bringing it to a nice end. And it's pretty much about answering it in short ways. So one word, one sentence answers. And I usually ask pretty much the same question to every guest. And the answers sometimes surprise. So let's see how it is for you. Question number one. What do you miss the most from Spain?
Family. And sometimes food, I would say, but mainly family, and especially when your grandpas are getting old and all of that. So family.
Yeah, I feel that a lot. Hits home, definitely. Question number two, which food place or activity would you recommend people who want to come to Athens?
Well, Athens is a food city in general, so generically everywhere you stay, you eat, you will eat well, and you will drink well, and you can eat and drink at whatever hour you want. If I want to give you a specific recommendation, probably will be a restaurant called Los Tre Cucina, which is relatively close to Acropolis, and they modernized a little bit the Greek cuisine, so it's a very good restaurant.
Awesome. Thank you. I hope someone will try it out and let us know how it was, if it was a good recommendation.
Hopefully, yes.
I will let you know. And last question, what advice would you give someone as an expat or who wants to move abroad?
Try to grab one of your hobbies that can be done collectively and do it from day one. Arrive to a place, contact local places where they do whatever you like to do. So either if it's reading books, ceramics, playing football, bowling, whatever, just grab one of your hobbies and do it from day one, because that's the way of connecting with local people and non-local people who like something that you like. It's not only a matter of meeting for a random drink. You have something more than just that. So definitely that's my biggest recommendation.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It reminds me a lot on Anna Roberts, who is like helping with the mindset shift of having a better life abroad. And it's true. It makes more sense to actually do something that you enjoy anyways. And it will come naturally that you have connections, that you meet people with same interests. And it's just such a good advice. Thank you so much. Absolutely. And thank you so much for the time and for sharing it and for giving us a little bit of an insight of your own experience of being a podcaster, but also talking to other experts. So thanks a lot, Mark.
Thanks a lot for inviting me to the show. It was a very nice conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I hope that anyone else is also enjoying the conversation. And I hope I hear you next time. Bye.
Bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.